Hi, and welcome to today's interview of 5 Ways to Grow Your Business with Newsletters. Today, we're going to turn the tables and interview Sean Buck, the newsletter pro. Sean is a master of creating newsletters that are profitable and get open and read. We create a variety of custom print newsletters for clients all over the world, and over the years, these are the top questions asked by prospects and clients alike. And today, we're here to get the answers. Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Doing well, absolutely. But yeah, let's dive right in.
Okay.
So for first question on the board, how did you get started with newsletters?
Yeah, so I've been doing a newsletter since 2002, so for a while now. And what I had to do is I actually was forced to do it. I was forced to do it by a franchisor. I'd bought a franchise. And the franchisor, part of my documents that I signed required me to do one every month. And I went ahead and did the world's worst newsletter for 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So the reason this story is important is because it really points out a very big mistake that people make. And what I did was I was in the dry cleaning niche at that time, and I wrote a newsletter all about dry cleaning, how to get grass stains out, what happens with deodorant residue, all this stuff that literally is bore people to tears. It was horrible. It was the worst newsletter. And I wrote it and wrote it and wrote it and couldn't understand why no one responded, or I never got any results out of it. Well, it wasn't until I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to stop writing this boring newsletter. I'm going to write one, and I'm going to talk about, actually my first one, I was talking about coming back from Disney World with my family. It was our first trip we'd ever made to Disney World. That was the first one I wrote about. And I got so many comments on it. It was crazy when I was talking to people on the phone. They'd stop me out in the van, whatever the case may be. I got tons of comments. I actually got a referral out of it the very first time I had a good newsletter that went out. It was great. I was like, hey, I'm onto something here. And mm-hmm. So that was basically how I got started in newsletters. And I've been doing one for my companies ever since.
So what was the switch? Why did you start doing newsletters for other people?
Yeah. So what happened was, is I was looking for a new company. So I was selling the dry cleaning businesses. I had owned a marketing company back in California. I lived in Idaho at this point and still do. And I was looking to make a switch. I wanted to start another marketing company, and I was thinking, you know what, man, newsletters were always so difficult for me to get out, but they worked so well. I bet this is hard for other people, but I bet it would also work really well for them. And I watched all my friends, they were all going, like starting website development companies and SEO companies and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm a big believer that when everyone's going right, I should probably look and see what's going on over here on the left-hand side. And you know what? No one was out starting newsletter companies. No one was going into direct mail. But I knew that stuff still worked because it was crushing it for me still in my companies. And I said, you know what? This is the way I'm going to go. And so that's why I started doing newsletters for other people.
Yeah. And over the years, have you noticed a certain type of company that should have a newsletter, or I guess what type of company should have a newsletter?
Yeah, totally. So anyone who has a repeat business is usually where it goes. Now, look, I mean, I've got to paint with a really broad brush here, right? But doctors, dentists, lawyers, physical therapists, chiropractors, people who sell business to business. I mean, plumbers, HVAC, like there's a lot of different people who want repeat business, who need to build a relationship with their clients so they can sell more to them, so they know who they are, what they do, that they're still in business. They know all their different products and services that they offer. I mean, this is all the people who rely on referrals or repeat business. That's typically where I would start. Of course, my team could help you figure out, you know, make sure it's exactly for you. But where I'd start is if you rely on referrals, if you have multiple lines of business. So for example, you're a criminal defense attorney and a personal injury attorney, right? Or you have and need repeat business, people to come back over and over and over again in your business, then that would make a lot of sense for you to have a newsletter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, this next question we get asked often, what type of content should people put in their newsletter?
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about content mix here. So what you're looking for is a 75-25 max content mix. So 75% non-relevant to your business. So this is going to be stuff that's maybe relevant about you. So it's personal about you, or it's stories that are going to help your ideal reader, right? So if your ideal reader's mom, it's the 7 tips to keep kids safe on Facebook, you know, because that's something that mom may be interested in, right? Okay. But it's not going to be directly about your business. Then the last 25% can be business specific, right? Where if you have a referral program going on, a special offer, you want to talk about a new line of service, something along those lines, that can go in that last 25%. You'll notice though, if you get our newsletter, that we basically almost never talk about newsletters. Where we do it, where we always do it when we talk about newsletters is if we do it, it's going to be in an insert. That's usually the only place. See, the thing is that even though we're sending people a newsletter, you know, they don't want to necessarily read about the mechanics every month. Like, we're giving you lots of good tips about newsletters here on this recording. But if I then next month went into more detail on how I got started with newsletters, right? You'd be like, well, I kind of already know this story. And then the third month, you'd be like, I really know this story. And the fourth month, you'd be like, Sean, I'm done reading, right? So the thing about it is what we really want to do is we want to talk about stuff that's going to educate them, that's going to interest them, that's going to entertain them, right? Now, the education component, if you are trying to educate them, it could be educating them around a concept you need them to understand so they will buy. And if you were to dissect our newsletter, you'd see we do that all the time. So look, to go back to the original question, 75% about you personally or about you know, something that maybe is going on in the business but isn't actually business focused, or is something that is helping your end user, right? Or is entertaining something. That's 75% of your content there. 25% of the content can be about the business specifically.
Mm-hmm. As in your own newsletter as well, you recommend that both for business to business and business to customer.
Absolutely. In fact, I mean, I sell business to business. You know, that is who we're selling to is other business owners, mm-hmm. right? And so if you mimic what we're doing, I assure you what we're doing is working. Mm-hmm. And so mimicking that is going to you know, put you ahead of the game.
Okay. Well, with that variety of content, how long should the average newsletter be?
Look, for most people, 4 pages is plenty, or 4 pages with a what's called an FSI or a freestanding insert if they want to do promotions, you know, if they have a big ad they want to run. That for probably 85% of people, that's more than enough and all you should use. There's a small segment of the population that has a high enough customer value, has enough education that they need to do that it makes sense to do an 8-page. My team can really, they're experts at telling you what's going to work and what's not going to work from that standpoint. Okay, because we've done so many newsletters. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of customers, and so we help tons of people do this. So we absolutely can advise you on that specifically for you. But my guess is, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd put it on 4 pages because that's what, you know, 80-85% of customers take and need.
Mm-hmm. And with all the content and all just the things that are going into a newsletter, what's the biggest mistake you see people make when they produce their own newsletter?
All right. So a couple of big mistakes. First of all, I talked about one earlier. It's all about the business, right? That's a huge mistake that I watch people make. So if it's going to be all about the business, you're not going to get readership. And if you don't have readership, you might as well not do the newsletter, right? Second is they want to be either sporadic or they want to send in some, you know, some way where it's less than monthly. Here's the thing, guys. Absolutely, absolutely needs to be monthly. We have tried this and tried this and tried this, and you are not building any real relationships going once a quarter. Like, they don't even realize your customers do not even realize it's a publication. In fact, it makes you look inconsistent because they don't realize it's a publication. And you can call it the spring edition and the fall edition, but here's the thing. I have no real friends. I have no real associates that I talk to once a quarter. I mean, these are at best casual acquaintances, right? And I don't want that in-between time where I'm not mailing to be the time that client has a referral to give out. Or I don't want that in-between time where I'm not mailing to be the time where my competitor's coupon hits them in their inbox or their mailbox or wherever it hits them and they decide to go use them instead of me. I want that time to spend with them every single month. I want them to take that newsletter and I want them to go and sit down at the kitchen table and read it. Or I want them to go read it in the living room or their favorite chair. I want them to go use it in the bathroom or in their bed. I don't care where they read it. I want that FaceTime with them. And let me drive that point home with one thing for you to think about. The world's largest companies all focus on how much of your attention they can get. Walmart, they want to know how long you're in the store. Facebook, how much time on the site. Instagram, how much time are you spending on Instagram, right? Amazon, same thing. They all want to know how much of your attention they're getting. Why? Why? Because they're dumb? No, they're not dumb. They know study after study after study has shown the more attention that you can gather and keep of your customers, the more time they will spend with you, the more likely they're going to spend more money with you, the more likely they're going to refer, the more loyal they are. And so you can't get that attention once a quarter. It's not enough because your competitors are trying to get it all the time. So you have to go out, get that attention, keep it, right? It's yours. You got to go get it,
makes
right?
Sense. Yeah. As far as, you know, the use of newsletters, I'm sure you've seen a variety over the years. What's the most unique use of a newsletter you've ever seen?
So the most unique, we still have a client. He's been a client years, great guy. I got to know him actually pretty well. We ended up sitting next to each other on a plane to an event, and we talked for a couple of hours. And he owns a funeral home and sends a newsletter for a funeral home. And now I got to be honest, when he first told me he wanted to do this, I was like, look, I don't think this is going to work. I mean, you know, and I told him, I'm like, you need to come in knowing this is an experiment. And here's the thing. It actually, he tells me it works really well. He says, you know, it's gotta be 3 or 4 years now that he's been sending this newsletter. And sends it out every month. And you know, of course, he wants to be with the family and help them, support them through their grief. And unfortunately, though, you know, if dad has passed away, mom may not be too far behind. And he would like to be top of mind for when that tragic event happens. And so you might think that that seems, seems like it's
morbid.
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't think that's what he's going for. I mean, this is the business he's in, and unfortunately, there are two things that are guaranteed in life, and that's death and taxes. Mm-hmm. And the government absolutely is going to get theirs, and eventually, the Grim Reaper is going to get his. So, that's the most unusual or unique newsletter that I've ever seen. To date. So
interesting. Okay. Well, kind of shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about your 5 strategies for using newsletters to grow your business and crush your competition. Kind of entering in toes first, what's the first strategy?
All right. So here's the thing with newsletters. One of the things that they are best at, right? Some of the things they are best at is keeping your customers coming back over and over and over again, right? Repeat business. So retention, right? See, one of the most difficult things we do as business owners, one of the most complicated things we do is we go out and get new customers. We spend a ton of money. We spend a ton of time, effort. We pay salespeople and marketing teams and marketing companies. We do all this effort to go get new people. Then they come in and we basically forget about them. We basically forget that they exist. We're like, don't get me wrong. We deliver the product and service that we promise, right? But we woo them up front, and then we're like, oh, here you go. Good luck. You're now a customer. We will talk to you when we either want money from you. We want new money from you because we want you to buy something else, right? You know, we want you to pay a bill, right? We'll talk to you when there's a problem, but we're not going to do anything to woo you or to keep you. And so in turn, using a newsletter, when you build that relationship with them, what happens is that you are able to retain them more. That retention turns into a longer customer lifetime value, right? The relationship that you build with them when done correctly also makes it easier to sell to them. You know, the odds to sell to an existing customer, especially when you have a relationship with, it's 60 to 70% close rate as opposed to a 5 to 20% close rate on a new prospect. So you have a much, much higher likelihood that you can sell to these people, and the better your relationship, the easier it is to do that. So the number one strategy is retention, because retention gives you so many benefits that we just talked about.
Okay. I mean, and strategy number two, just kind of looking over everything, is how to use newsletters to get referrals. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, it goes back to that relationship. That's the start, right? And then we have to create a referral culture, right? So we have to start telling them, this is what you do. You refer business to us. That is part of your agreement with us to, as you being a customer, right? You're going to refer in, right? We got to educate them on who makes a good referral. I can tell you, for our business, not every single business makes a great referral. It just doesn't. And so if we don't educate on that, it hurts, right? Next thing we have to do is we may have to promote where appropriate. We may have to promote referrals. Now, Amanda, you may remember we did a contest not too long ago that we did. It was for a dentist who could promote for referrals, right? Mm-hmm. And we were able to, over 7 months, we gave away that trip to Disney World, family of four, trip to Disney World. 7 months, they got 349 new patients, butts in seats, people who actually came in and saw the dentist as people, because people wanted to win that contest. And that was promoted exclusively in office and through the newsletter. That was it. There was no other promotion that went on for that contest, but it absolutely crushed it because he had a great relationship. He had been educating on referrals and why they should refer, right? He then put a promotion in front of them that they wanted and they were interested in. And in turn, what did they do? Lo and behold, they referred, and they referred in droves, right? It ended up costing him, all in, fully loaded, I think we came up to $48 a new patient is what it ended up costing, which is really cheap for a dental office. The average dental office spends over $250 a new patient. So it was super, super cheap. Now, let's say though, I'm going to do an additional point on here. Let's say that you're like, hey, Sean, that's fine, but I can't give away a trip to Disney World.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, like, okay. So think about this. Here's what you have to do. You have to now use information, right? You have to increase celebrity, right? You have to use information. You have to increase that relationship. You actually have to work a little bit harder at getting those referrals because you've got to do it without having some big prize. Okay, so a friend of mine who is a lawyer who does this, right, they will advertise their lead magnets. So their lead magnets might be a small book that they have, or it might be some kind of free report or some kind of audio CD or something. And they'll say, hey, if you know someone who's in a car accident, make sure that they go get this free report here, right? You know, so they're advertising it around helping, right? Help your friends and family, like when you know someone who's in this situation. And of course, this person has built up a celebrity, right? So they are well known by their clientele, and the clientele likes them, and we've helped them and coached them through building up that celebrity a little bit. And listen, we live in a society who worships celebrities, so it's a great thing to have a little bit of celebrity power behind you. But there's lots of ways and strategies to go out and get referrals, even if you can't or don't want to give away a huge prize like a trip to Disney World. You know, there's lots of ways we can totally coach and consult you on that, but there's tons of things that you can do there.
Yeah, good to know. And I've always thought of newsletters as a retention tool only, but here in the third strategy is how to use newsletters to sell additional products and services. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
Okay, so here's the thing you've got to remember. Your customers do not know everything it is that you do, regardless of whether you've told them before or not. Okay. They don't remember it. That is 100% a guarantee. They don't know what it is that you do. They know some of them. They don't know all of them. And I'll tell you a story about that here in a second. But what you can do with newsletters is you can introduce and promote. We usually do it via a freestanding insert, other products and services that you offer, right? So we can do lead generation into our own list. So let's say I have created a new XYZ service, right? And I want to promote XYZ service with a small book that I've written. Okay. I can do an ad in there, sending people to a landing page, an FSI in the newsletter, send people to the landing page and get them to opt in for the book to sell them the new product or service. I can do this with my existing customers and with my existing prospects. And so by taking this tool here, right, of this newsletter that I'm already sending them out, I can actually go into my own list, who's going to be more responsive anyways, and I can extract money out of it in the form of new sales by helping people solve some other problem it is that they're having. So you can do the same thing, right? You can do the exact same thing with products and services that you offer. And it doesn't all have to be new. It could just be that right now you've decided you're going to promote, if you're a dentist, Invisalign, you're going to promote Invisalign, and that's going to be the ad that runs this month. And we're going to drive them to a landing page with an opt-in, and we're going to know that these 17 people are really interested in Invisalign. Okay, great. Let's do that. So I'd like to use it. Here's the secret, okay? Here's the real big key. It's actually a two-part secret. I'm going to change that up. It's a two-part secret here. The first is, don't make the window too small for your expiration. Unlike other mail pieces, okay? Newsletters, the post office says, lingers in a home or office for up to 4 months. So we tend to run promotions at least over a 60-day period via the newsletter. The next thing is use the newsletter as a supporting tool. Most people need more than one touch point to even realize something's going on. And that's true in all marketing, right? They need to see it in the newsletter, see it in an email. They need to see it on a postcard. Okay, right? They need to see it in a lot of different places, a lot of different times. Maybe they need to see a sign in your office or someone on the phone needs to ask them about it. But the more points you can have them get touched by it, the more likely you're going to close that business for someone who's interested in it. Okay. And that is true amongst, you know, we see that all the time. Like that's true among everything it is that we do. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you use the newsletter to heavily support all the other campaigns that you're running. And if you'll do that, you will be able to track an increase in response of those campaigns directly from the newsletter.
Definitely seems most arguably to be the easiest way to increase your bottom line. But for a more advanced technique, would you recommend segmenting, you know, different offers for different people in the funnel?
Yeah. So, okay. So if you want to go more advanced, and this is exactly what we do with our list, right? We have our list segmented out, right? So we know who customers are and who the prospects are. And then we even have some segmentation in the prospect list as well too. And we send different offers to people who are prospects and who are customers, right? Mm-hmm. Because if you're a customer, I don't want to make an offer of come buy newsletters. You've already bought newsletters. Right? That's not the offer I want to make. Mm-hmm. I might want to say, hey, by the way, we've got this other thing that enhances your newsletter. Or I might want to just educate you on why you should continue sending a newsletter, right? I don't necessarily want to make an offer for you to buy more newsletters. You've already bought one. It's unlikely you're going to buy a second one. And if you are, my guess is you're going to call me anyways because you've opened a second location, right? And that's pretty simple. We see that happen all the time. But to prospects, that's exactly the pitch I want to make. I don't want to make a pitch of enhance your newsletter because they don't have one yet. So I segment the list. Now, this is a way that we have closed a tons of businesses. So last year, I think it was $1.2 million in new revenue from people who had been on our list for more than 12 months before they bought. Okay, so we've closed a ton of business for ourselves and for our clients. Just going, segmenting the list and going after prospects and making offers that are appropriate to prospects and making offers that are appropriate to customers. So yeah, that's the advanced strategy.
Makes sense. Okay. Well, we have about two more strategies to talk over here. And in your fourth strategy, you talk about enhancing celebrity, like you touched on before. Can you tell me a little bit more about the whole strategy as well as why it would be a good idea for, say, a local dentist, for example, to enhance their celebrity?
Yeah, sure. So, okay, here's the thing. We live, I mentioned this before, we live in this celebrity obsessed society. Mm-hmm. If you think about Kim Kardashian, right? Kim Kardashian is literally famous for being famous, right? She's famous for various different videos that she puts up. She's famous because she's beautiful. She's famous because of all the reasons that Kim's famous, but it wasn't because she was a TV star. It wasn't because she was a movie star. It wasn't because she was a famous singer, right? Okay, but she can, like, they literally talk about her breaking the internet with certain pictures that she puts up, right? She is, that family, they are geniuses. Whether you like them or you don't like them, I'm telling you, absolutely geniuses from a business standpoint, okay? And she's created this celebrity, and this celebrity has brought her a ton of wealth. Okay. Now, you may not want to be the next Kim Kardashian. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I'm going to assume you don't want to be, that you're happy being the lawyer or the dentist or the plumber, you know, or the PT or the HVAC guy or whatever it is. Okay. I'm going to assume that you're happy, you know, in your position there. So here's what happens. Here's what you got to think about. If you can be the celebrity in your field, it changes how you operate everything. Everything. You can charge more. You will get more of the high quality leads, right? You will get more of the second opinions will come to you, or they will just come to you first. They won't question you as much because you're the expert. You're the person who is the celebrity in the field. So, as an example, let me give you another example here. We've all heard of Dr. Oz, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Now, I've got to believe that there are doctors out there who are more skilled than Dr. Oz. In fact, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Because there's guys out there doing it every day, and that's not what he does anymore. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Oz will make more money, not just from the celebrity stuff, but if he went in and started seeing patients again, the top people would come see him. The other celebrities would want to go see Dr. Oz because he is the doctor. Okay. Everyone knows who Dr. Oz is. Everyone doesn't know who Dr. Smith is, right? So he can command a higher price when they give recommended treatment. Do you think they're like, you know, doc, I'm not sure about that? Or do you think people just take Dr. Oz's advice? Mm-hmm. They just take his advice. Like, do you know how much more money and sales would be closed for people if they just had a little celebrity and more of their existing prospects or clients would just take their advice? Right? It just a few more of them would take their advice. It would have huge effects on the overall profitability of the company, mm-hmm. right? Because those small numbers that close, right? All the fixed expenses are already built in, right? It's already there. So that's just gravy.
Yeah.
Right? So it can have, celebrity can have such a huge impact. And by being someone who shows up, who's published, who shows up in their mailbox every month, who writes, who sounds like an expert, who appears, you know, who has their own publication, like, this can be a game changer for you from the celebrity standpoint. We can help position you, you know, either to a bigger celebrity if you're looking like, hey, I want a little more of that celebrity, or I just want a little bit, whatever it is. We can help position you and help coach you on writing the articles that make sense to help you get that celebrity so that they take more of whatever it is that you're recommending. That's a big one, man. When people call me up and they get me on the phone, you know, it's funny because it's very rare do they push back on anything it is that I'm saying. Why? Because I'm the expert on it. I'm the guy who's literally built the business, who's written the book on it, who they've read, who they've seen speak on stage, who they've watched videos, whatever it is. I don't get the pushback that you know, even other people in my office might get. You know, I don't get the same objections. People don't have the same concerns talking to me because they know when I say, no, this is, okay, I heard what you're looking and here's what I recommend. They just take my recommendation. It's so much easier that way, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to recommend anything I don't believe in anyways, but, and I'm guessing you wouldn't either. So, I mean, if you would, then don't use these powers for evil. You know, we're probably not a great fit. We don't want anyone using any of their powers for evil. We want them all using them for good. But if you can add that celebrity element and you really are looking out for the best interest of your clients, prospects, you know, customers, patients, whatever you call them, you're going to find that it really, really can flip the script and change a lot about your business. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, the final question we get often here, and in the strategy, I'd love to dive in. The question at hand is, how do I monetize this newsletter? How do I get the success from sending out this publication monthly?
Okay, so here's the thing you got to first understand. This is, as you said, a publication, okay? So where it's going to start is first we have to start to build readership. See, I see people make this mistake all the time. What they want to do is they want to jump right into, like, show me the ROI on it immediately, okay? Well, we could do that, but we would do it and we'd basically bastardize the whole thing by doing it, right? So what you first need to do is you need to spend about your first 3 months building readership. If they don't open it and they don't consume it and they don't read it, then all is for naught. There's no point in doing this, right? Okay, so that's the first thing that you've got to understand is timing is everything here. Now, the second thing is we went through a ton of strategies to monetize this, right? So we can do referral promotions, right? So that's one strategy. We can talk about retention. So what is your real lost number of customers right now? What is that true number? Because I will be honest with you, when I've actually grilled someone on this number, my experience has been that when we look at it, the number's wrong more times than not, okay? So what's that real number? What's that real percentage, okay? So let's start there. What can we do to fix that number? Where can the newsletter help fix that, right? Next, can we take some of these unconverted prospects and make offers to them and help convert them into prospects, right? So those right there, that's three ways, three very, very easy ways, okay? Now, one that's takes a little longer to see is, can we increase lifetime value? Okay, now that one takes longer to see, but absolutely is something that a newsletter excels at doing, right? Is increasing the lifetime value, right? So here's the thing. The newsletter is not a strategy. You cannot look at a tool that is designed to primarily retain customers, build relationships, and then say, show me the exact ROI on this dollar for dollar, okay? because it is one tool, one component inside of the entire strategy. Now it's a huge piece and it absolutely will show you, we can track a direct ROI for us. Like I said, $1.2 million in new revenue. I can send a lot of newsletters out for $1.2 million in new revenue, okay? But most people don't track their numbers quite that closely, so they find it to be a little bit more difficult. You can absolutely track it down to the newsletter, but your better bet is to start tracking some of your secondary numbers and then see how the newsletter is influencing them. How many referrals are we getting today compared to how many did we get last year in the same month? Okay, I can see that number is up. Okay, hey, we ran that referral contest for 7 months and gave that trip to Disney World and we got 349 new patients in. Okay, I can see that number's up. Oh, look, we used to have a 24% lost customer number and now we're down to, 20.5%. That's a big difference in lost customers there, and that I can see that that's, making sense, right? So we've now taken these prospects, and here's this prospect who's coming in off of this offer that we put in the newsletter that we ran for 60 days or whatever, right? That's how you're going to more easily ROI your newsletter and be able to track it. But you need to get readership first. So don't skip that step or you're going to be upset later on when you're like, well, I don't understand. I'm not getting the ROI. Well, you're not getting the ROI because no one's reading it because we went straight to get ROI. So hopefully that answers the question and makes sense. But all the strategies are there, and it's exactly what a newsletter excels at.
All right. Well, good information, great insights. And thank you, everyone else, for joining us on today's interview, 5 Ways to Grow Your Business with Newsletters. And thank you, Sean. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure is mine. Thanks, Amanda. Mm-hmm.